This is the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
His mother belonged to a holy, Puritan, religious society. And Jesus was born to a mother of that holy, Puritan, religious society. Whereas Prophet Muhammad was born and raised in an adulterated society, a polluted and adulterated society. And his people were victims of that polluted and adulterated society. Well, now. Okay. Prophet Muhammad is a universal model, whereas Jesus is a sign. Prophet Muhammad is the living, practical, universal model, whereas Jesus is a sign. And his leadership signs the death knell. Give signal to the death knell, their warning, final death upon the dominance of elite groups over the masses of the people. But now God has bypassed the intellectuals. He has left them, and he went to who? To one of the uneducated, to show the world for all time that the Jews, those hypocrites, those rebels, those deceivers among the Jews, they lie when they say they hold the treasures of God. That was their boast. Oh, you all have nothing. We hold the treasures of God. You can't go far. That was their boast, the Jews. And they make that boast today. There are ungodly Jews today that make that same boast. And they laugh at the power of God to aid the common man. Yeah, we know how God aided man. God did his work and he rested. And the Jewish people, because of their daringness, because of their aggressiveness, they found God in his sleep. I'm telling you what they say, believe it or not. They are our great men. We found God in his sleep. And we woke him up. And we took from God. We took over the authority on earth from God. This is what they say. And if you say I got from God. I got from God. They laugh at you. Know what they say? See, God's hands are locked up. They can't help you. That's the Quran, isn't it? The Jews said, God's hands are locked up, can't help you. Meaning the evolution of creation has rested. And God's hand is locked up in the rest of creation. R-E-S-T. God's hands are locked up in the evolutionary rest of creation. It's not evolving anymore. Jews, we got it. It's not going up anymore. And what does Allah, what is the reply of God in the Quran? He says, your shameful disrespect is really a mark on you and not God. You are locked up. You are locked up. And it was proven, wasn't it? Because it wasn't them, it wasn't the Jewish community that brought the sciences back to the world. The one that they laughed at, the one that they mocked, the one that they said, oh, your God, his hands are locked up. From him came the enlightenment that brought back the sciences to the world. So even before it happened, say yes, your mockery is falling back on yourselves. There's so much, time won't allow us, so much that you should know. I mean, you should be told again. A lot of it you've been told, but it needs to be refreshed. Need to refresh. All right. Let us now come to faith and the community. Faith and the community. What's important for us to know as Muslims? It's important to know that community life is a trademark of the Muslim. Community life is a trademark of the Muslim. Do you know you can't be spiritual people neglecting your worldly responsibilities? You can't be that. The very name tells us that we are people whose main energies are seen working in community life. This is what the Ummatul Islam. This is the Ummatul Islam. This is the community of Al-Islam. What does community tell you? The word community, what does it tell you? It should tell you that the life of a Muslim must be lived out in his community. You can't go at home. You can't be a monk. You can't do your religious exercises at home and stay away from your community and stay away from people. And you can't come here and hear a message and go home spiritual and stay for the rest of the week and don't do nothing and come back here next week and repeat that over and over again. You can't do that. Because you are not a monk religion. You are not a priesthood. You are a community religion. A community religion must address community needs. A community religion must respond to community needs. A community religion must take care of the needs of people as they live in a community. Plain as day, plain as day. Excuse me for screaming a little bit. But I'm excited. I find the situation exciting. I find the challenge exciting. And I find God's light exciting. So what kind of imams we got that's going to come out here and talk to you about spirit? Talk to you about being good. It ain't gonna tell you nothing about your obligation to do business, to be represented in the business world, to be represented in your neighborhood, to be represented on your block for having your share of the business, for sharing, for having your share of the financial responsibility for your neighborhood. It's all black. What is your share of the financial responsibility there? This is Muslim. You know, imam come here and talk to us and not talk to us about this. This is basic in our religion. Community threatened by immoral people. Gangsters, lawbreakers, got the good people living in fear. We are the Ummah of Al-Islam. We are the community of Al-Islam. Our religion tells us first that we are Muslims of, in a community sense. If our community is threatened by hoodlums, that's a basic problem for us in our religion. We can't tolerate that. If our community is threatened by immoral people, that's a basic problem for us as Muslims. We can't tolerate that. If our community is being robbed, there are people committing theft in this community, embezzling this community, extorting the people of this community, sticking up people in our community. We can't tolerate that. We have a community responsibility. We are the Ummah of Al-Islam. Do you understand that? Brothers, let me tell you. Sister, too, I know you, sister, you are more ready than these brothers. Excuse me if I don't address you a lot. These brothers are inactive. Most of them are inactive, completely inactive, totally inactive. And they are my brothers. That's right. They are me. They represent me. And I can't tolerate this. We're going to have to measure up. We've been swept up in these currents of wind by new exciting things that come into the life of the people. And we lose our basis. Even the Muslim. The Muslim just follow the trends of the world. Neglecting and abusing his authority as an individual to do something about the condition in his life and the condition in the world. Don't know if he live on this block and in this neighborhood that what's happening here is his problem and his responsibility, just like it is everybody else's. It's not the mayor's responsibility. They want to make us a bunch of sissies. They want us to be little children, little babies, little helpless boys and girls. That's what they want us to be. Every time we get a problem, we go to the mayor. Oh, but he's black now. I don't care what color he is. We're going to be a man no matter what color the mayor's office is. We don't want to be no boy. If a white man is there, we don't want to be no boy. If a black man is there, make no difference what color is there. We don't want to be boys. And we ain't going to be boys. But praise be to Allah. So when we represent this religion, we have to be aware that we are not preachers of a spiritual message. We are preachers of a community message. This is the Ummah of Al-Islam. That's how it's listed and named in the Quran, and that's how it is here in English. We are the community of Al-Islam. And we are obligated to keep the community needs and the community issues before us. Individuals, they will always be a prey to dictators and slave masters if they follow that individualism. Individualism. No room in this religion for individualism. No individualism in this community. No. This is a community-based religion. Understand that. So they can't enslave us. Because I'm not living for me. I'm living for me, my family, and for you. I mean all of you. You have to feel the same. We all say this. I'm living for me, my family, and for you. This is a community-based religion. And maybe I got $5,000 or maybe I got $500,000 in the bank. And maybe I got direct line to the office of the big shot. If I'm a good Muslim, if I stay the man I am in this religion, that won't change a thing. When I look at the state of the house, the state of the family, the state of the neighborhood, that mean nothing. That money and I have as an individual mean nothing. Because I'm not committed to the individual picture as much as I'm committed to the community picture. So my individual situation may be beautiful, but if the community situation is ugly, I'm not at peace. I got to get out here and do battle. That's right. Now that's the benefit. That's the benefit. That's the good in belonging to this religion. If you don't want that, then you shouldn't be here. If you don't want that, you shouldn't be here. If you want individualism, if you want somebody to sing people to sleep and preach to people that they're supposed to be goody-goodies and take care of their own private business, but don't remind them that there's the community business, there's the messenger, there's the school, there are community businesses, there's the neighborhood, there's black people in this neighborhood. What's happening here is reflecting on all of us. If they don't remind the people of the neglect in the neighborhood and in the community that falls on all of our shoulders, they ain't speaking for me. They don't speak for me. I belong to a community-based religion. Praise be to Allah. Let's quickly look at the principles of faith and the principles of belief. To believe in only one Allah, that he has no daughters, no sons, no wife, that he exists by his own power, that he has been always, he's eternal. Your imagination cannot grasp him in totality. The best way to see him is with the heart of faith. This is our religion. To believe that he is only one, he is the creator of everything, and that he is only one. Khaliq al-Khaliq kulli shay, the creator of everything, and he's only one. One Allah. Never born, never fathered anybody. Never fathered any child, and never was born. Now we know this speaks to Christianity, the Trinitarian idea of Christianity. Oh, but that a lot of Christians believe in that, Brother Imam. Should we say that? Are we Muslims or Christians? If you're Christians, then don't say that. Allah says in the Quran, let Prophet Muhammad address it. Say, let us come to Prophet Muhammad, Allah addressing the people. Let us come to common terms. Let us come to terms that respect both you and us. A lot of you don't know the weight of that. That actually believing otherwise disrespects the human person. Say, let us come to common terms respecting both you and us. Given the fact of your common human dignity with us. And also given the fact that your prophets told you exactly what ours told us. You just changed it. So let us come to terms respecting common terms, common facts that respect both you and us. What are they? That we worship none but one Allah, one God. Is that not right? That we raise not up from among men lords. Isn't Jesus a man? Raised up from among men? Wasn't he among men a man? Allah said in the Quran that we raise not up among men of ourselves someone to lord over us. No, we don't want any man lording over us as a divine. Only one divine. And he is the creator of everything. All right. So this is the principle of belief. Very first, that we believe in Allah, that we believe in his messenger, that we believe in the angels, and we believe in the messenger, and we believe in the books that the messengers came with, that those books came from Allah. The same Allah, not a different one. Only one Allah, eternally. Never born, never dies, not like us. And what else is the belief? Says, say not two or three. This is the Quran. So not only do we have to believe in the purity of worship, we have to also with our tongue speak against the idea that say God is two or God is three. And they look at me and say, Brother Imam, why don't you let other people have their religion? So why you got to come out here and talk about Craig and all this crusading against the Christian believe in that? That's that they're entitled to believe in the Trinitarian idea. Read what Allah says to Prophet Muhammad. They are not entitled to be left resting at peace talking about God as three. No, Allah didn't say that. Allah said to Prophet Muhammad, he said, tell them, they call them, tell them, let us come to terms respecting us each other. That God is not two, he's not three. He's not no two or three. In a Godhead, he's only one Allah. That's what Allah says in the Quran, in plain language, in the very words that I'm using. In fact, I'm using the words of the Quran, exactly. So who are you going to follow? Praise be to Allah. And we will be victorious. We will win. Not only win the fight, but we'll win their respect. They're going to respect us more than they respect those Muslims who have the word of Allah and then try to find an excuse not to live it as Allah tells them to live it in the Quran. We can't go buddy-buddy with the Christians and seeing them going down the road of sin and disgrace and misguidance and not pull their coats. We have to remind them that, though, our religion has come now and have made us to understand and made us to see that your community slipped off the right path that Jesus put them on. And there's still evidence in your New Testament, and there's still evidence in the Old Testament to show you that you went wrong. Now let us help you. We love you. You are our brothers in respect for God. That's the way we should go to them. But we shouldn't say, no, we ain't to bother them. If they want to believe in any way, you worship as they want to, that's their business. No, when you set a man up as God, and especially when you put a man image up, then what you do is draw man's attention, because God is God for all people. You draw man's attention to that image. And that image divides man. And that image encourages man to look at himself and to think that he's divine. It creates a lot of false ideas, a lot of false notions in man about his own worth, about his own humanity. So it makes him kind of silly in his mind. It affects his psychology. We don't want that. Now, if Allah has shown that to us, now why don't we help the Christian? How don't we help our Christian brothers? Don't you know we have an obligation to our Christian brothers and sisters? You have a double obligation to yours, because yours came into this Christianity from slavery. They didn't make it a free choice. Don't you know that? Don't you know our ancestors did not make Christianity their religion of their own free choice? That they had no free choice in choosing Christianity? You should remember that. We know the first church, according to history in America. The first church is in Philadelphia. The AME church, the first one, was the beginning of the black church in America. And how was that church started? How did the black people get their first church? It was because the white church didn't want the black sitting in that church. Not only did you didn't have a choice of choosing your religion for yourself, after you got into their religion without a choice, then they disrespected you and treated you inferior in their own church and forced your preacher to go outside of the church to establish his church. And that's how the black church started in America. Yeah, we don't want to help them with their program. The world got a program to hold us down. We don't want to help them with their program. And anytime we don't stand up and do our job, we're helping them with their program. If we water down and soften our message, we're helping them with their program. That was the beginning of the church for black people in America. Now, is that a beginning you like? I know I don't like it. No, I didn't choose a religion because of that. I learned that lately. So don't think that now I chose to be a Muslim because of the ugly beginning of Christians in this country. No, I just learned that lately. I choose this religion because it respects my intelligence. It feeds my whole life and respects my intelligence. That's why I chose this religion. But I wonder how people can stay in Christianity after knowing what they know. I said, why in the world can they stay in Christianity and all that? Look like the communists would have, atheism or something would have been got us. Yeah. Communism, atheism, anything is better than that. That's why the communists have such a good time getting the people of the world into that camp. Because the Christian message, the way it's presented, it disgraces the Christianity. It dilutes Christianity and disgraces Christianity. And leave the people a bunch of mental slaves and spiritual slaves. So as soon as the communists come in with their program of manhood, they just get the people right out, take the people away. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Belief in one Allah, Muhammad is his messenger. Belief in the angels, belief in the books that he revealed to his prophets. All of them. We believe in all of them. Reservations, certainly. We know that those books are not in their pure state like they was when they were revealed. So we don't go to their books for guidance. We go to our book for guidance. But we have to be aware that God also revealed the truth to them too. It just got lost or corrupted. And we have to believe in the ordinance, the judgment of Allah. We have to believe that there operates in life, and we cannot change it, the rule of God that caused everybody to get his due sooner or later. That he rewards all according to their hearts and their deeds.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Broadcast Donations, care of Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Broadcast Donations, care of Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening. This is the world broadcast of Imam Waref Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waref Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
And no matter how small the good you have done, don't be around here talking,
man, I'm going to get mine. I know I'm a good person. I know I did a lot of good. I know I helped.
You're going to lose it talking like that. Because that attitude is a bad mark on you. You see? I don't care how small it was. Have faith in Allah and His word. He said He will give you the reward for that good, no matter how small it was. And look how generous He is respecting good. He says of wrong, if whatever wrong you did, you will get no more than the measure of that. But whatever good you did, you will get multiplied that measure. Not just the measure of that good. He said He will multiply that measure. From 7 to 700 times or more. That's what Allah promises. All right. Now, what about this now? Allah says, the evil that befalls you, don't charge that to God. Charge that to yourselves. See, ma'am, what about the high rate of high blood pressure now? And what about the rate of venereal diseases and herpes? And what about the problems we having with rheumatism? Well, why in the hell you live, why you stay by the lake? Why you live by the lake in 50 feet of snow? You got rheumatism, your mother had it, your father had it, you're still living there by the lake with 50 feet of snow coming every winter. You gonna blame Allah for that? And you're still smoking heavy cigarettes and drinking liquors. Some of you drinking liquors while you're pregnant. Some of you women drinking liquors while you're pregnant. And now the doctors have come out and told you, now if that happened, don't blame God, blame yourself. Because your drinking habit may even bring birth defects to your children. So we have enough that we can see now that God has blessed man with science. We have enough that we can see to at least give a whole lot of support to what God reveals, that man own behavior brings these problems upon him. Say, well, don't we have to die? Isn't that a problem? No, death is a blessing. Death is a blessing. You just crazy. The world has made you crazy. You don't understand what death is. You work hard, you live a good life, you want to stay here as long as you can. Believe as Prophet Muhammad say. He say, live as though the hour of judgment on you will be today. The day will be your last day. He says, and then live again respecting that. Live again as though you're going to live forever. How is that to be understood? Quickly. We want to get it done quickly. It's to be understood this way. That I do all the good in my life and I live honorably, I live honorably in my religion, knowing that I have to face God. I have to account for what I do wrong. But at the same time, God has given me
these facilities. God has given me these capabilities. He has given me these assets of mine. And God has given me the possibility in the environment to live out my own value, my own inherent worth, to fulfill my potential, right? To fulfill my life, the possibility for myself. God has given me an environment in which I can fulfill the possibilities for myself. So that's valuable to me too. I fear God, but I also hold precious the opportunity to live to the fullest the possibilities that Allah has given to me and made lawful. Isn't that wonderful life? Isn't that wonderful how Prophet Muhammad described it? Live as though the night this is over. The day is over for me. If every believer thought the day was over for him, wouldn't he be trying to be better? Wouldn't he be making a good effort to be better? Yes, yes, yes. But the Prophet says, peace be on him, also live as though you're going to live forever. So build as though you're going to live forever. Why? Grow as though you're going to live forever. Because that makes it better for those you're leaving behind. And that will go on your good record. All of that will be written in your good record. See how wonderful it is? Oh, there's so many other quotes from Quran and Hadith to give you, to show you the beauty of the life that Allah gave us in this religion. But let us go on. So we are to believe in al-qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala, that the rules which operate to reward, to grace and both punish, that rule is Allah's. But the affliction that comes upon us is our own doing. It says, and the good that happened to you, that's from Allah. What does that tell us? See, you have to have the eye of the wise, because the highest treasures in the religion, they're open only to the best at heart. Is that not right? Yes. So without that eye, you can't see it. You see? And believe me, the wise heart is what makes this wise. The wise heart is a proof that there's wisdom up here. The foolish heart tells us that up here may be artificial. All right. We have to believe also in the resurrection after the death. It says exactly that, the resurrection after the death. And we know that here again, this is in this life as well as in the next. Is that not right? In fact, we're told that if you are not resurrected in this life, expect none hereafter. If you are not awakened here, don't expect anything hereafter. In other words, if you don't come into faith and right attitude of mind in this religion, here, while you live, there is no resurrection for you. Except in hell. And I wouldn't call that a resurrection. That's a downward thing. You'd be standing up, but it'd be down. Disgraceful, that is. And unbearable. And we are to believe, we mentioned this. We already mentioned the divine ordinance, or the rule that operates throughout Christianity, throughout the universe, and in Christianity too. They believe the same. They believe in the divine ordinance of God. They believe that too. See, a lot of these beliefs, you may think they're only Muslim, but they're not. Yes. Now, he said also, what did he say also? In a different kind of scene where the angel Jibreel was sitting among the Muslims. The angel Jibreel, in human form, In fact, said in every respect he was looking just like human beings. And he was dressed in clothes that was of the whitest of white, as though he didn't even, he hadn't walked to that place. His clothes was as though he didn't walk to that place, as though he had not experienced what they experienced, because his had no sign that he was traveling or anything. The purest of white, said, and his hair was the blackest of black. Hair jet black and clothes the purest of white. I'm just saying this to those who have deeper thirst or greater imaginations. Yes, says that he was addressing the prophet. He sat close to the prophet, putting his knees to the knees of the prophet and his hands upon the thighs. And he said, questioned the prophet, and he asked them to tell him, what is the faith? And Prophet Muhammad was relating to him the faith, and he would bear witness to what Prophet Muhammad was saying. And at one point, he asked Prophet Muhammad about the hour of judgment. And Prophet Muhammad replied. And after replying, telling Jibreel, the angel Jibreel, that the one who was asking the question, the one who was being questioned, that was the prophet, peace be upon him, were in no better situation to answer that than the questioner, who was Jibreel. Now listen. A lot of us don't listen with both ears. See, I listen with my right and left ear. He said the one who's being questioned is in no better situation to answer than the one who is asking the question. So Jibreel said, well then tell me, what are the signs of it? And Prophet Muhammad began to tell Jibreel the signs of the judgment. Now listen, some people, Prophet Muhammad wasn't a prophet then, huh? He only had the Quran, he wasn't a prophet. If you study the life of Prophet Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad's prophecies prophesied many things. His words carried many prophecies, and the prophecies have been coming true all the time, and many of them are coming true right now, in this day and time. He says, okay. He said, well, then tell me the signs of the hour. And Prophet Muhammad says, a sign of the hour will be that you will see the common worker, poor man, servant person, common servant class person, competing in the construction of great buildings, towering buildings, skyscrapers. He will be competing in the construction of high buildings with the builders. Do you know it's very recent in history that the common man now has come into this competition? Very recent in history that the common man has now come into this competition. Now you got the common man. He wants a share of the construction. He wants to get contract too. He wants to be able to contract the building of a big building, tall building downtown somewhere, right? He's demanding his share, you see? Well, Prophet Muhammad said, that's one of the signs of the hour. I'd like to give you time to think over some of these things. I'm not thinking because I don't have nothing to say. I'm giving you time to think. I think we need to think. Now, let me say something else of this report, he said. May God's peace be and blessings be upon the prophet. He said, of the signs, he said, the sun will rise up from the west, not the east, from the west. Now, you know, I always heard that, and I tell you the truth, there was some confusion in my mind. Because I know in the Quran, the idea of the sun coming from the west is treated as an idea in the mind of the disbeliever. so I said, now, if the sun is coming up from the west, it stayed on me. It was a burden. But one of two or three learned persons who are authorities in hadith, reports of Prophet Muhammad's life and what he did. He's still alive. My brother Jabir invited him to consult with him on the book when he was putting the book together, collecting materials for the book, Prayer in Al-Islam. Hadith's name is Abdullah. His name is Abdullah. Muhaddith. Abdullah. Muhaddith is the title for one who is authority in hadith. Muhaddith, the Muhaddith Abdullah. And he was sitting at the table and they asked him to just tell us things of hadith. His English wasn't that good, but pretty good. He could speak to us in English. So he mentioned this verse of this report, pardon me, on the sun coming, rising from the west. But he gave a part of it that we didn't get in report that we got in English. He said the sun would rise from the west, but it would come up only to the zenith point. It wouldn't come eastward. And it would set again and come back its natural way. From then on, it will come its natural way. So now, no problem. See, when you tell the whole truth, it's good for the heart. But just part of it may leave the heart with a burden. So I didn't see it, and now no problem. Because the Quran doesn't talk about the infidel, the disbeliever, believing the sun would do that. Well, he says, you think it will come now. You bring it to the people from the west. Why, when Allah's way is to bring the sun from the east to the west. So it's talking about the sun moving from one region to another. Whereas in the hadith, the sun doesn't come out of that region to go in another region. It stays in that region. It stays in that horizon. It doesn't come out of the west. It stays in the west. It rises up in the west to the zenith point in the west and goes back down while yet remaining in the western part of the sky. Now, we know this is symbolic. Don't get spooky. It has a message. All right. Now, I considered all of that. I said, well, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. But believe me, it speaks to the human value, human person, powers, qualities, and capacity of a human being, and tells us what is possible for him and what his limitations are. It's wonderful. And make us see a human being has great possibilities for the human being in the real world, not spooky. No possibility for you in the spooky world. It's fantasy. Only imagination. That's the exercise of imagination. That's the only place it's good. But if you don't use it in the real world, that exercise was fruitless, right? All right. Okay, so he said another sign will be, the time is flying, but this is good. He said another sign will be that the servant girl, listen to this, the servant girl will bear the child of her mistress. Prophet Muhammad mentioned the servants competing in the construction of high buildings. And now we hear the mention of a servant girl delivering the child of her mistress. This is a sign of the hour, according to the hadith. Delivering the child of her mistress. Dear beloved people, this is wonderful. This is great. Believe me, what you see in this leadership is an answer to that. Servant girl, weren't we the servant girls? And aren't we now delivering the people? Aren't we delivering the new life, the new people? And isn't the job that we doing the responsibility of those who were over us? But they didn't do it. So now here is their servant community. The servant child, the servant girl, is now delivering for them what was their responsibility. Now, you know, there are many reasons why the old lady doesn't bear. Sometimes she's just not faithful. Then sometimes she dries up. She becomes too old to bear, right? But we know Allah has the power to even bring life back to the womb of the old person, because it happened in Sarah's life, right? So this ain't Sarah I'm talking about. This bitch I'm talking about. I'm talking about the bitch. What you call that dog that just go out and mess with everybody and do everything, have no virtues, no loyalty to the husband, no loyalty to the family? That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of leadership we have had in the past. Oh, he's talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You crazy. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a victim just like you. I'm talking about the world. So these are signs of the hour. Now we know the judgment is continuous, and there will be a final judgment, the great judgment. But we must understand that if we see signs that tell us that what Prophet Muhammad said is being fulfilled, we are not to take that lightly. We are to take that very seriously. And that will help us understand the time that we are living in. Now, going back to the conversation between Jibreel, the angel Jibreel, and the prophet, what does that conversation reveal to us? What comes out of that conversation? It tells us that there was a difference between the capacity of the two. Muhammad the prophet, peace be on him, and the angel, the perfect angel, Jibreel, right? Tells us there was a difference between the two. But in some instances, one is no more better off than the other. In some instances. What does it tell us, dear people? Some Muslims have a problem with this. And I pray that I be a help. I'm sure there are other people who are helping who have understanding like I do. I haven't met them yet on this particular problem. But they don't have the sensitivity. I haven't met people with the same sensitivity I have on certain problems. This is one of them. They seem to think that angels are above men. Angels are not above men in the plan of God. Men are above angels in the plan of God. Now, that doesn't give me and you the right to say, oh, yeah, I'm higher than the angel. You might be lower than the dog. But those men that Prophet Muhammad chose, they were above the angel. They were a degree above the angel. Prophet Muhammad is above Jibreel. Jibreel is not bigger than Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad is bigger than Jibreel. Jibreel, he was asking Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad didn't say, Jibreel has come to teach me my religion. He said, that was Jibreel. So he came to teach you your religion. He wasn't teaching Prophet Muhammad anything. Say, but how come Prophet Muhammad couldn't get it direct? If Prophet Muhammad is more important than Jibreel, how come Prophet Muhammad didn't get it direct? Look, man, I couldn't get here without Clara Muhammad. That's my mother. But my mother admired me and said she was my follower before she died.
And I can't get here if I don't keep eating food and vegetables and drinking water and eating. I can't stay here, pardon me, if I don't keep eating food and drinking water, keep eating from the dead matter of this world and the living matter of this world. But I consider myself more highly evolved than the things I eat. But they keep me here. I wouldn't be here if I stopped eating those things. So don't come to me with that stuff about Jibreel is over Prophet Muhammad. Jibreel was under Prophet Muhammad. He was only a medium for the message to flow through to Prophet Muhammad. Jibreel couldn't teach the people. He couldn't teach the people. If he could teach the people, Allah would have made him the teacher. Allah said, if the earth had been populated with angels, I would have made an angel as a teacher. He said, but since the earth is populated with men, I have made a man as teacher. That's what Allah says in the Quran. So an angel only has so much, is limited. He only can get what Allah give him, and it's limited. There, he stops there. But man can get what Allah gives him, and then man can use the tools, the faculties, the capacity that Allah has given him above the angel, because Allah has given him a degree above the angel. The man now can use that degree of potential that he has above the angel to do the job of man in the world. Yes. So we have to understand that. So he says that this is Jibreel. He has come to teach you your religion. But now, did anybody think was so foolish to say, well, Prophet Muhammad, we don't need you anymore? How was he teaching them? How was he teaching them their religion? That's what you have to learn. See, Prophet Muhammad had already taught them that. Right? He wasn't telling them nothing new. Prophet Muhammad had already taught them that. But what are you telling them? This is Jibreel. He comes to teach you your religion. Say, this is Jibreel, the high archangel. He is sitting down close to Prophet Muhammad with his body touching Prophet Muhammad's body, showing that the medium went from me to Prophet Muhammad. And now, see how I respect him? I ask him, Prophet Muhammad, teach me. Prophet Muhammad was asking, Jibreel was asking Prophet Muhammad. Said, Prophet Muhammad, what about the Allah? He was asking questions. So Jibreel came to teach the Muslim how to respect Prophet Muhammad and how to want to get near to him and how to respect Prophet Muhammad and how to ask him questions so you will learn something.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. Your financial support of this program, which is vital to our community, is needed and appreciated. Please send your contributions now to Broadcast Donations, care of Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. That's Broadcast Donations, care of Zakat Propagation Fund, Post Office Box 49089, Chicago, Illinois, 60649. Tune in next week at this same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission. Thank you for listening.